He is the Lord who changes not. It is still true today and ever will be true. He will be found by those who seek him with their whole desire. This is a quote coming to you from Gable Ains Annotated Bible. In this broadcast, we are continuing the theme of resolutions in our new series entitled In the Beginning Was the Word. In this particular broadcast, we will once again cover the subject of seeking the Lord as we deal with resolution number 10. Now, although in our past resolutions, we had them stem from the book of Psalms and dealt with the character of David, but in this broadcast, we are going to look at King Asa as found in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and see how he, like David, responded to God's command to seek the Lord. Prayerfully, through this study, you will have a greater understanding of what it means to do just that, seek the Lord. Now, before getting into 2 Chronicles 15, it's important that we go back to 2 Chronicles 14, verses 2 to 5, because this gives us a biographical sketch of King Asa. This is what it says. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Now I want you to take note of this. Here we have Asa commanding Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, to do the law and the commandment. But intermeshed in this passage of scripture talking about seeking the Lord is the concept of taking away the altars of the strange god, the high places, breaking down images, cutting down groves. So we are seeing a connection here between seeking the Lord and getting rid of idolatry. Okay, now going into 2 Chronicles 15, we see it starts off with Asa returning from a victorious pursuit of the Ethiopians, and he is met by the prophet Ahaziah. Now, surprisingly enough, Ahaziah does not congratulate Asa on a splendid victory. Instead, he warns him. He gives him a prophetic warning. This is what verse 2 says. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Okay, the first thing Ahaziah said, the Lord is with you while you be with him. Here we see the condition. The presence of God will be with you, Asa. It's conditioned by you being with him in the sense of belonging to him, loving him, and obeying him. And if you seek him in the way of penitence, faith, love, obedience, then he will be found of you. You will see his face, you will enjoy his favor, you'll have his presence, and you'll have his help in every time of need. But if you forsake him by a wicked life and by living as if there is no God, that he doesn't exist, then he will forsake you. And then Ahaziah goes into a little history of Israel, and the commentators all agree that this is referring to the time of the book of Judges. He says, oh, remember, for a long time Israel had been without the true God because they were worshiping false gods. They were without a teaching priest, without the law. It was a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king in Israel, and they had no regard to the law of God, or what we would say, the word of God. There were no teaching priests. They were not giving the word of God. They were not teaching the full counsel of God. And therefore, Israel fell into a spiritual declension. But Ahaziah said, but when they in their trouble, this is what happens when you fall away from God, you forsake him, you get trouble. And so in their trouble, they cried unto the Lord, they repented of their sins, they turned from them to him by prayer and supplication, and he appeared for them, he helped them, he delivered them. Then we go to verse 8, and this is where the context of our message is found. And it says, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, or Ahaziah, Oded, same thing, he took courage. Asa took courage. Here he is returning from the battle with the spoil of the enemy. He's met by the prophet Ahaziah. Ahaziah is giving him this word, this prophetic warning, but he's encouraging him to go on with the work of reformation that he began, that we spoke about in chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. And so after he heard the words of the prophet, Asa grew more bold for God than he had been. Now you could imagine after this victory over the Ethiopians, he came back feeling really good because God came through for him. But what gave him courage was the word of the prophet. He became very daring to go on and continue on in this work of reformation. What the speech of the prophet Ahaziah did for him, it strengthened the king to carry out the work that he had begun. What work are we talking about? The extirpation of idolatry from the whole land. What these words of the prophet were doing was saying, okay, Asa, you began a work, but finish it. God is saying, finish it. So he ventured to destroy all the abominable idols, away with them all. Now notice, it says, he took courage and put away the abominable idols. This is what God thinks about idols. They are abominable. They are an abomination in his sight. You know, and it says here that he took courage. He took courage. Asa took courage by the words of the prophet. Well, it would require great courage to put away these idols because there were a great number of God's people who were addicted to these idols. So it would take courage for him to finish this work. And some think that Asa went, the way he purged out these abominable idols was by doing a narrow search, by going from house to house. And, you know, you could imagine coming in and saying, okay, any idols in this house, get rid of them. Out with the idols. And so this is, took great courage, and he put away the abominable idols from out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of all the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. Listen to what the biblical illustrator says here. The one token of seeking God is casting out idols. There must be detachment if there is to be attachment. The heart must be emptied of base liquors if the new wine of the kingdom is to be poured into it. Did you hear what was said there? The one token of seeking God is casting out idols. Well, you say, my church is seeking God. My family is seeking God. I am seeking God for the new year. And I ask you, are you casting out idols? Because that's one token of seeking God, is to cast out idols. There must first be a detachment. If there is going to be an attachment, put away the abominable idols. This is what King Asa was doing. This was a part of seeking the Lord. Now let me just interject here. Every person in the world struggles with idolatry. And you may ask, well, what is idolatry? What is an idol? How do I know what's an idol in my life? Well, when you bring anything else into the presence of God, into the place where God dwells in your heart, you have made that thing an idol. Another way to say it is, if you make a good thing an ultimate thing in your life, it's an idol. You make a good thing an ultimate thing. You make it preeminent, supreme, topmost in your life. You have just made that thing an idol. Now, let me give you an example of some idols that maybe you have never heard before. One idol is power. One idol is power. Now, power comes through position. It could come through wealth, how much money you have, what position you have in society. And you get power through this. And, you know, it depends on, are you lording it over others because you have power? That's an idol. Another idol is control. You have to have control. You want control over everything, over conversations, over relationships, over situations in your life. You have to be the one in control. That's an idol. Another is approval. You have to have everybody's approval. When you say something, you want everybody to approve of it. You know, you just have to have approval of people. That's an idol. Another is comfort. Comfort. God forbid if anybody would mess with your comfort. You know, you don't mess with my comfort. I want my comfort in my life. That's an idol. Another way to help you identify what's an idol in your life is to ask these questions. Now, this is just, you know, possibly, you could probably disagree with me on this, but this is one way of tracking down an idol. Ask yourself, what makes you angry? Now, I'm not talking about righteous indignation. I'm talking about what makes you angry in life. You know, you might be able to find an idol by answering that question. What causes you to fear? What brings sadness? Okay, these are some questions to ask yourself to try to identify an idol in your heart and life. Now, Asa is a part of seeking the Lord. He put away the abominable idols. And as a way of you seeking the Lord, you must put away abominable idols in your life. Rid your life of idols. And the way to do that, you say, well, how do I do that? The way to do that is to fill the space with God's word and obedience to his will. In other words, love God more. The love of God in your heart will shove everything else aside. Fall in love with Jesus. Come back to your first love. Love God more than everything else. And you will shove those idols out. Now, the second thing that Asa did was he put away the abominable idols and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. That we're talking about the altar of burnt offering. He renewed the altar. He repaired it. It was decayed. It had fallen into disuse. And so he repaired it, he consecrated it, he dedicated it afresh. Listen to what the preacher's homiletic commentary said in response to this. Prophets and reformers of the Old Testament were especially concerned for the altar and restoration of divine worship. Decayed altars signified neglected sacrifices, perverted religion, and practical apostasy. Now, we are seeing in our day perverted Christianity, and we're seeing practical apostasy. So you have to wonder, you know, where's the altar? Where's the altar? There needs to be a renewing of the altar of the Lord. The altar. This is a place where God meets with his people, where you have a personal encounter with God. It's a place of confession, repentance, renewal, but it's also a place of surrender of your heart and life to Jesus. It's a place of consecration, rededicating your all to Christ. It's as though you're saying, come what may, danger or blessing, difficulty or triumph, my all belongs to you, Jesus. This is the altar of consecration, the place where you say, come what may, my all belongs to you. And altars have a price. Now, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Altars have a price. God intends that something be altered, A-L-T-E-R-E-D, in you when you come to the altar, A-L-T-A-R. The price of altering, change, transformation. It's a place where you allow God to change you. You come to the A-L-T-A-R and you allow God to A-L-T-E-R you, to alter you. And here's the crescendo. Verse number 12 of chapter 15, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. But let me tell you, they could never enter into a covenant to seek the Lord if they first of all did not rid themselves of abominable idols, if they didn't deal with idolatry in their heart and life, and if they didn't renew the altar of the Lord. They didn't come back to that place of surrender, of consecration, rededicating. I'm talking about everything. Come what may, my all belongs to you, Jesus. And come back to that place where they say, I'm throwing myself on the A-L-T-A-R, and I'm asking you, Jesus, to A-L-T-E-R whatever needs to be changed in me. Now, our time is up for today's broadcast, but I'm encouraging you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of resolutions. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that you are transformed by God's word today. In Jesus' name, amen.